What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603. For complete details. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. Who will be the number one wide receiver in fantasy this season? How good will the rookies be? How good will Derrick Henry be in a new situation? We're going to be answering those questions and many more on this special edition of Fantasy Football Today here for CBS Sports Network. I'm Adam Azer. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. I am joined by the three best fantasy analysts that anyone could have. Let's say hello to all three of them. Let's say hello to three-time Palm Beach County T-ball coach of the year, Jamie Eisenberg. What's up, Jamie?
Six times, so get it right, buddy.
My bad. Let's say hello to Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. And yes, we checked. There is a Fantasy Football Hall of Fame. Dave Richard. What's up, Dave?
It's a virtual Hall of Fame, which is probably for the best.
And let's say hello to a guy who won a chest hair contest on a cruise only because I was not also on that cruise. Hello, Heath Cummings.
Just one time, they wouldn't let me come back.
What a shame. And let's say hello to our first big topic. All right, we got five of these. We're going to get to two quickly here. And let's start with who is the number one wide receiver in fantasy. We did a draft a week ago, and Christian McCaffrey was the first pick. Then four of the next five picks were wide receivers. It went CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase in that order. I will ask you guys, who is your number one wide receiver? Start with Jamie.
For now, it is CeeDee Lamb, and it will probably be CeeDee Lamb by the time we get to when drafts are happening in August, because he was simply amazing last year from their bye week on. It was basically the Dak Prescott to CeeDee Lamb show. And what did we see happen this offseason? Jerry Jones went all in on Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb by not getting a running back to supplement this run game that they lost Tony Pollard and really help out the backfield there. So you expect to see a lot of Dak Prescott, a lot of Lamb. The second receiver is still Brandon Cooks as of now. No Michael Gallup, he's gone, so they actually subtracted from their receiving core. Love the setup for CeeDee Lamb. I think he's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I would say that Tyreek Hill is actually number one in my projections, but Hill has the age risk. Hill has maybe the quarterback health risk. If you're looking at the guy that has the best combination of floor, youth, quarterback stability, that's got to be CeeDee Lamb.
It's 12.6 targets per game for CeeDee Lamb after the Cowboys' bye week. They got their act together after the bye, and they said, we're running this thing through Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. And Jamie mentioned it. They've done nothing this offseason to change their tune. By the way, 12.6 targets per game turned into 28.5 PPR fantasy points per game for CeeDee Lamb. You can't beat that. There isn't another wide receiver that has that type of situation. Lamb is numero uno.
Now, Adam, just one thing to point out. You know, Heath mentioned quarterback stability. Obviously, Justin Jefferson for the last 2 years has been the number one receiver, and he was great with Nick Mullins last year, and hopefully that carries over to what he does with J.J. McCarthy. So when I said CeeDee Lamb for now, if McCarthy looks good or maybe even Sam Darnold comes out and looks good, I have no hesitation putting Justin Jefferson back at number one, especially if he does not get paid. That guy chasing money could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I don't like disagreeing with all three of you when you all have the same answer, but I'm a Tyreek Hill guy as wide receiver one because, Dave, you mentioned the 28 points per game for CeeDee Lamb. Well, that's more than Josh Allen averaged in 6 points per passing touchdown leagues. And I don't know that there's, I don't think there's ever been a wide receiver who's done that for a full season. So I don't think he will do what he did after the bye week, which was insane. But Tyreek Hill, first 12 games of the year before he got injured in that Tennessee game, he was averaging something like 26 points per game.
Yep.
And then he tailed off a little bit after that. I don't think he's going to average that. But the reason why I like Hill better than Lamb is because they more or less tied in 2023. I think Lamb averaged a tenth of a point more per game in PPR. And Hill was better than him in 2022. This was an outlier year for Lamb, and I believe in him. But I've seen it all career long, basically, for Tyreek Hill. 2 years in a row where he's been the number two wide receiver with Tua Tagovailoa. So, Dave, I feel like there is maybe a higher floor for Tyreek Hill because Lamb has never done what he did last year. Tyreek Hill's been doing it for how many years now? 6 years? So that's why I'm right now still on Tyreek Hill.
And you've got to think about it like this, and this is just to your point. Efficiency-wise, those first 12 games that you're talking about, it was 10.6 targets per game for Tyreek. That was really, really good hyper-efficiency to get to that 26-point mark. It's the age. It's Jalen Waddle making more of an impact this year. It's the running game in Miami making more of an impact this year. And Tyreek Hill, like, they're neck and neck for me. They're very, very close. He's my number two wide receiver. I don't know how Heath has it. I think Jamie might have Tyreek third because of what he said about Justin Jefferson. I'm not sure. I think the bottom line is this. I don't think you can go wrong with any of these wide receivers at the very top of the draft. Elite producers, double-digit target getters, and guys that can produce over 20 PPR fantasy points per game. And we might be talking about a new receiver to add to that class by the time we get to the end of 2024.
I really thought Adam had a almost reasonable take there until he said Tyreek Hill has the highest floor. And that just can't be the case for the only guy over 30 that we're talking about to be the number one wide receiver. Age risk is a bit of a concern. And I think there's also a little bit of concern, like, did we see the Dolphins get exposed late last year because it got cold everywhere or because they played great defenses or because the league's kind of starting to figure out what they've been doing the past 2 years?
Well, it's not going to be cold in South Florida. Plus, if he's 30, does that make him over 30, Heath?
He's on the wrong side of 30, yes.
he's right there in the middle. All right, Dave mentioned another wide receiver who could be joining this fraternity of elites next season. And hey, maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe he'll be this season elite. That's Marvin Harrison Jr., who goes to the Arizona Cardinals, and he will be the first rookie drafted for sure. But when should Marvin Harrison Jr. be drafted? He went 14th overall in our 12-team, three-receiver PPR draft last week. Start with Jamie again. Jamie, when should Marvin Harrison Jr. be drafted?
I mean, he's going to be a round two pick, Adam. And, you know, just to kind of tie all this together, I'm doing a story for our magazine. It'll be on our site and cbssports.com as well about who is the best receiver in fantasy. And it's going to be about seven or eight guys that we'll talk about because I think they all have a chance, as Dave mentioned, you know, the elite target getters and the top producers at this position are all going to kind of be vying for that top spot. So while Lamb comes in at the top of the list, Marvin Harrison Jr. kind of wraps up that list. And then after you get past like Harrison and Chris Olave and for me, Drake London, you know, kind of we see a big fall off here. So if you do pick at the back end of the first round, he's going to start to come into play early in round two. I prefer him in the middle of round two. And you could debate him versus Wilson, him versus Olave, him versus London. It's hard to expect a rookie wide receiver to come in and dominate right away. By the second half of his rookie season, he should be fantastic. You look at this Cardinals passing game. Kyler Murray coming back year two from his ACL tear should be very good. We see Trey McBride coming off a very strong season as in the tight end spot, third year for him. Then it's really a lot of guessing game, you know, a lot of a big guessing game. You know, Michael Wilson showed some flashes. Greg Dortch is more of just, you know, a smaller slot guy. It should be a lot of targets going in Marvin Harrison's direction. So I think we're going to see his average draft position settle in the middle of round two, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
You know, it's funny because I do have him a little bit later in round two than this, but it's not because I have Chris Olave or Drake London or Davante Adams or Cooper Kupp or those guys ahead of him. I just thought that maybe running backs in that draft that we did fell a little bit further. When we get to my team, you'll see that I did feel like that because I drafted way too many of them. But I think round two for Harrison, with the expectation that he's going to be a top eight wide receiver this season and has the upside to join that Chase Jefferson Lamb conversation moving forward.
I like him as a top 12 type of wide receiver, so I'm looking at late round two for him. And I can make the argument for him, talking about how Kyler Murray has locked onto his number one targets before DeAndre Hopkins, the obvious guy that did that. We talked about Kyler Murray and what he needs to improve on. We did that on our podcast, and I think that that's something that Marvin Harrison can help with. But there's also the cautionary tale. We're a year removed from watching Bijan Robinson destroy our fantasy teams after we took him in round one. This was a guy that came into the league, ballyhooed like crazy. We all loved him. And then the end result was he wasn't good enough to be a first-round pick. And so you have to be a little bit nervous about that with Marvin Harrison. I'm cool with him as a top 12 receiver. That even feels high. But I think it's a late round two range where I'd be comfortable taking him myself.
All right, again, like he went 14th overall in the draft we just did. I had the 15th pick. I was getting ready to draft him. It was either going to be him or Barkley, and the decision was made for me. So thank you to the guy who was picking 14th for taking that pressure off my shoulders. Now, those are only two of the five big questions we'll be answering. We've got more when we come back. We'll be talking about quarterback and tight end strategy after this.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football Today. Some more big questions for our analysts. Last season was kind of a weird year. We did not have an elite quarterback or an elite tight end. Josh Allen, in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues, he averaged just over 26 points per game, which was the fewest for QB1 since 2009. Jalen Hurts, a bit of a down year, especially in the second half. Patrick Mahomes, bad year for him. So that's the question. We'll start with you, Dave. Based on what happened last year and the landscape this year, are you skipping the elite quarterbacks in drafts?
I'm going to defer to Jamie on what the ADP will be for these quarterbacks because he has a pretty good sixth sense for what they're going to be. But I suspect that quarterbacks will still be drafted relatively early in home leagues. And if that's the case, I am definitely skipping. I will wait to the mid to late rounds to grab one of those quarterbacks. There are 14 quarterbacks that I look at and I'd say, okay, great. Happy to start these guys as my week one guy. And then there's another 8 quarterbacks that I don't know if I'd necessarily be happy to start week one, but by the time we get to week 3 or 4, I'd be all in on them if they showed us something. If they pulled a CJ Stroud and they went and they did well to start the season off right. I was in our, you know, we did a mock draft last week. I was the first guy to take a quarterback. I took Patrick Mahomes, but it was at the 3-4 turn. So if I'm getting Patrick Mahomes, who's my QB1, as a late third round pick or early fourth round pick, man, I'm taking that every single time. That's value I can't pass up.
So I think Dave makes a good point. Like, I'm not skipping quarterback in analyst drafts where they're available in round 3 and round 4, but in everybody else's drafts, that's probably not going to happen. In a one quarterback league, yes, I would suggest if quarterbacks are going off the board in round 1 and round 2, you should skip the elite quarterbacks unless you're playing in a league where you can start more than one of them. But I think the interesting thing is, like, when you say that, are you just talking about the guys who we have ranked 1, 2? Like, is it just Mahomes, Hurts, and Allen? Is Lamar Jackson an elite quarterback? Because some guys like Dak Prescott, like Kyler Murray, who have shown us elite upside in the past, who may be elite quarterbacks this year if they get back to that. And I'm definitely targeting those type of guys.
I think to Dave's point about what the average draft position will probably end up looking like, and the draft that we referenced in the previous segment, you know, he said, I don't have 24 players I want to draft in the first two rounds. We just talked about Marvin Harrison Jr., who's yet to play a snap in the NFL, being selected 14th overall. There's going to come a point in round 2 where I think we're going to get some people frustrated about the players that are left available, especially if you have a certain strategy that you want to sort of take hold of. And so I think what we'll end up seeing is 3 quarterbacks probably going in round 2, and Heath referenced them. I don't think Lamar Jackson goes in round 2. I think he's an early round 3 pick, and then we sort of start to see the trickle-down effect. But for me, I'm probably out on these quarterbacks early. I just think there's enough talent at the position with what Stroud will hopefully continue to do, with a healthy Burrow back, with what Dak Prescott did last year and should be able to build off. And then you see what some of these young quarterbacks are going to do, the ones that will use their legs to a very high degree. And we're talking 6 points for passing touchdowns as opposed to 4. So with what Jaden Daniels can do, with what Caleb Williams I think will do as an overall player, and obviously Anthony Richardson coming back from his injury, there's just so much talent at the position. I think there's more than 14, Dave. I think there's probably about 18 quarterbacks you can get away with saying, I can start this guy and still win a fantasy league.
It's right. It's not just about the fact that the elite guys weren't great last year. It's that it looks like a deeper position. And maybe we can say the same thing for tight ends. You know, last season was the first time since 2016 that a tight end did not average at least 15 PPR points per game. That, of course, can change. But do we have an elite tight end this season? It was shocking, Dave, that we saw two tight ends go in the second round in the last draft that we did. But do we have an elite tight end this season?
I think if you're looking for a tight end that can get you north of 16 PPR points per game, I don't think it's there. I don't think we've got one guy. But if you're looking for one that can get you 13, 14, maybe even scrape the 15-point mark, yeah, I think we got two of them. I think we've got Sam Laporta, and I think we've got Travis Kelce. Kelsey's the one that I'm really intrigued by because he started 2023 red hot, and obviously in the playoffs he was a monster. But in between, he suffered an ankle injury. He was on and off the field a little bit, and he just was not productive for fantasy managers. And that's why his PPR average sank. That's why we didn't have a tight end have 15-plus PPR points last year. It's why Sam Laporta is now in the conversation as tight end one. He's younger. He's in just as good of an offense. He'll see a lot of targets, just like Travis Kelce. The question is really going to come down to how healthy is Kelce? Can he stay that way all year? And is he going to continue to get a lot of targets in an upgraded passing attack in Kansas City? I guess that's three questions. But that makes me a little bit nervous to just look at Kelce and give him a straight-up pass for 2023.
I'm going to say we have four elite tight ends this year just because replacement cost at this position is so absolute. It's really bad. It's like 9 fantasy points per game. And so, yeah, maybe they don't score 16, but if they're scoring 14 or 15 and you have a 5-point edge on a third of the league and you've got a 3 to 4 point edge on the rest of the teams, then I think those guys are elite. So I will say Sam Laporta, Mark Andrews, Trey McBride, Travis Kelce. No, I don't want to take them in round two, join the club, but I'm pretty happy with all four of those guys in round three.
And it's going to be fun to see some of the other players that challenge to be in this conversation. Last year, it was Trey McBride, who averaged over 14 PPR points per game when he took over after Zach Ertz, you know, basically bailed on the Cardinals and wanted out. And that was without Kyler Murray for a good stretch of that season. A good stretch of those games. I think the fun part is going to be, can Evan Engram have another 100 catch year, especially with what this offense now looks like with all the vacated targets without Calvin Ridley and Zay Jones there? I know they replaced him obviously with Brian Thomas and the addition of Gabe Davis, but Dalton Kincaid could be an absolute monster, and it's going to be fun to draft him this year. This could be the bounce back season for Kyle Pitts after he had a 1,000-yard season in his rookie campaign. Now that he has a quarterback that hopefully will target him in Kirk Cousins. I know Dave's a big fan of TJ Hockenson. If that guy's healthy, going to get him for great value. So hopefully he's ready to go by the second half of the season. And then we'll see somebody like Brock Bowers, who we know has a lot of hype coming into the NFL. Can he step forward in that Raiders offense with what looks like a very terrible quarterback situation? But the talent is definitely there. But yes, I think you see that the four guys at the top, for me, it's very similar to the quarterback position. You don't necessarily have to take one of those guys too soon, but you should get great value on them if you get one, I think, in round four. I think one of those guys will fall to round four, and I love that value. Most likely we'll probably see either McBride or Andrews in that round four range.
So last season was a great season if you like zero RB. You probably won some fantasy leagues. You had guys like Rashad White, Raheem Mostert, Kyren Williams. None of them were drafted in the top 60. If you look at ADP, average draft position, and all of them finished as top 7 running backs. Kyren, by the way, finished as a top 7 running back in 12 games, I believe. That was unbelievable. So it was a terrific year for zero RB. Dave, do you think 2024 will be another good year for zero RB, which, by the way, in case you don't know, zero RB is usually waiting until round, there's no set definition, 5, 6 or later to take your first running back. But Dave, do you think it'll be a good year again for zero RB?
I think it will be. And you guys know this. I've been anti-running back basically my entire life, where I haven't wanted to take a running back earlier. Okay, that's not true. It's the opposite of that. Yeah, there you are, making fun of me by taking running backs with every single pick. I think you can get away with zero RB quite effectively this year. I think that there are too many teams with too many running back by committees that you can go and find 2, 3, 4 running backs, and then you can piecemeal it together with your starting lineup every single week. But I don't think that means that you have to overlook the running backs in rounds 1 and 2 and maybe even into round 3. I think there are a lot of guys that you can look at and say, okay, give me one of them. Give me one of these studs. If you've got the first pick in the draft, it's going to be almost consensus that Christian McCaffrey, who's pretty much a cinch to average over 25 fantasy points per game, is going to be your pick. get one of those stud running backs and then wait a little bit while longer to add your second, third, and fourth. I've started to do that in a lot of our mocks, and I really like the way that my team turns out just by having that one lead running back. Not two, but also not zero. One.
And I think the problem is that the more popular that zero RB gets, the less of a good idea that it is. That's just the kind of way that these strategies work. If six teams in your league are doing it, then it's not going to be quite as great for you. The problem I have with zero RB this year is, I think Dave mentioned it, like Christian McCaffrey, I'm taking first overall if he's there at two or anywhere. Like, I'm taking Christian McCaffrey if he's there in round one. And then Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, and Jonathan Taylor are kind of the three guys that I think, man, if something does happen to McCaffrey, these guys could be 2 to 3 points better than any other running back too. They have that kind of upside. And as we talked about in the first set block, we see CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill pretty much go 2 through 5. So you're getting some of those running backs that I really love in the second half of round one. I absolutely love that. I agree with Dave. Hero RB better this year than zero RB.
And you're going to see it set up that way, Heath, exactly how you sort of laid it out. You're going to see most likely a big run on receivers from, could be as early as pick two, but you know, somewhere between pick two and pick 10. You know, and then you start to get those running backs that are available in round two. You talked about this when we were talking about Marvin Harrison Jr., that group of maybe Kyren Williams falls there now with the addition of Blake Corum, but Saquon Barkley, Travis Etienne, those type of guys, James Cook, Rashad White now, those players are all going to be there in round two. And so if you go receiver with round one, running back round two, and then you just go receiver heavy from that point forward until we get to that round five, round six range, then you start to backfill your RB2, maybe your flex, fill out your depth at the on your bench at the position. It's just such a better strategy to implore, because we're going to see a lot of these running backs. We talk about all the time, the running back dead zone, where these guys unfortunately fail. Now, there'll be a few guys that step forward and still perform well in those rounds 3, 4, and 5 range. But I think if you go hero RB, it's the best strategy to use. And then you end up supplementing with one of these type of guys, like we saw last year with a Kyren Williams, a Rashad White, Isaiah Pacheco was in this range as well, Adam. You know, guys that just were so successful because you didn't have to necessarily reach for them. They just performed at a very high level because they were in good offenses and had very good seasons, which I think we'll find some of those guys again.
All right, when we come back on Fantasy Football Today, it is rookie versus veteran. Would you rather have Caleb Williams or Brock Purdy? We'll discuss when we come back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The young guy versus the old guy. That would be like me versus any of these old dudes that I'm co-hosting with today. But let's do rookie versus veteran and see who wins these battles right now on Fantasy Football Today. We're going to start with rookie quarterback versus veteran quarterback. I mean, it's funny to call Brock Purdy old. But Caleb Williams of the Chicago Bears or Brock Purdy? Jamie, we'll start with you. Who would you rather have, Caleb Williams or Purdy?
Nice gray beard you got going on there, by the way. I'm going to take the younger guy here. I'm going to fall for the shiny new toy once again. But Caleb Williams steps into such a fantastic situation. I think he'll run a little bit more than Brock Purdy, which I think will matter if we're just talking about a head-to-head comparison here. But great receiving core in Chicago that he's going to walk into. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, the addition of Romo Dunze. I think it's going to be a fun system for him. I love Brock Purdy, and I love what you did in our mock draft where you took both these guys. I think that's a perfect strategy to implore. Take the young guy first. Take the veteran guy a little bit later. I think both quarterbacks should be successful for your fantasy.
I will go Purdy here. Like, I think this is maybe one of the only quarterbacks you could compare Caleb Williams to and say, you know, he might have just as good of pass catchers as Caleb Williams does with, for now, with Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, George Kittle. We'll see if they're all still on the team when we get to August. But I do think we need to remember, just because, like, his Stroud was an exception to this rule, Purdy was for 6 games. But rookie quarterbacks are often quite bad for fantasy football.
Especially ones that struggled outside of the red zone in college, had a fumbling issue in college. Look, I like Caleb Williams. Love the idea of drafting him as my second quarterback, or if he's my first quarterback, getting a veteran soon after, pairing him with somebody else. But Purdy, to me, has been one of the safest fantasy quarterbacks over the last 2 years. Adam, you dropped this amazing stat on our podcast on Monday. 16 of his 21 games in the NFL, he scored at least 20 fantasy points. Now, I know that's not Mahomes-esque or Josh Allen-esque to get you 25-plus, but he's capable of doing that. In fact, he had six games last year with at least 25 fantasy points. That's twice as many as Mahomes had. Not saying he's going to do that again. I think Mahomes will be better than Purdy. But, man, when we're talking about these quarterbacks late on draft day, Purdy makes a ton of sense as a guy to target.
Let's go to a running back battle here. We got DeAndre Swift, who was the number 19 running back in fantasy last season, against Panthers rookie running back Jonathan Brooks. Jamie, who would you rather have, Brooks or Swift?
Yeah, and we're obviously talking about this with the hope that Jonathan Brooks is healthy, you know, coming off the November ACL tear he had at Texas. So if he's ready to go week one, I'll take Brooks. You know, and I think you see the potential for him to be the lead guy there for this Panthers offense that's going to be better. They upgraded their offensive line. More importantly, they upgraded their coach. So Dave Canales and his system should be fantastic for this entire offense, hopefully making Bryce Young better. But I think Brooks has the goods. He was my favorite running back in this class coming into the league. He landed in a spot where he has to compete with what looks like a done Miles Sanders and then Chuba Hubbard, who I think is just a guy. I think Brooks can come in and be the lead guy right away. You got Swift sharing with right now Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert. Could be a little bit crowded there. So I like the upside of Brooks if he's healthy.
Do you seriously think after DJ Moore and Miles Sanders the past two seasons, I'm going to tell anyone to draft a Carolina Panther ever again? I will take DeAndre Swift. In all seriousness, I do think this answer could change, but because people are drafting between now and the time we get to training camp, I have concerns about what Brooks' role is going to look like at the beginning of the season. I would not be surprised at all if they really ease him in. And Swift should be a guy you can start week one. So if we get to September 1st and Jonathan Brooks is just no restrictions whatsoever, then maybe I'm taking him. But right now it's definitely Swift.
Let's start by seeing how Brooks does at the start of training camp. Is he on the PUP list? Are they going to really slowly bring him along? Or is he ready to go and start participating in team drills as soon as late July, early August? If that's the case, then absolutely take him ahead of DeAndre Swift, who has been teasing us for years of being a fantasy superstar. I think he's done it once in five seasons. He's been really good for fantasy. And otherwise, it's been limited opportunities. It's been limited touchdowns. It's been injuries. And in Chicago, we just got done talking about how great that receiving core is. And Caleb Williams, low-key, will take some rushing touchdowns away from whoever is in that backfield in Chicago. So if Jonathan Brooks is okay, if he's pulling a Breece Hall and he's looking good in training camp, like Breece Hall coming off an ACL looked last year, then by all means, Jonathan Brooks is the right answer.
Our next rookie versus veteran is a rookie versus a second-year guy. Jaden Reed scored 15 or more PPR fantasy points in each of his last four regular season games. Malik Nabers is on the Giants. So, Jamie, Malik Nabers or Jaden Reed?
I guess I'm proving to be an ageist by just going with all the younger guys, but I'm going to do it again here with Nabers. I just love the talent. I love the upside. And I like the situation. I know Daniel Jones isn't the best quarterback, but he should lead the team in targets in terms of Nabers. And you're talking about a situation where they lost a very good running back, and I don't know if Devin Singletary is going to be that type of player. Clearly he's not Saquon Barkley. Their tight end looked like he's going to retire in Darren Waller. And Nabers should step into a situation where he's going to lead the team in targets and might get double-digit targets per game. And so an elite-level talent like what he showed in college with the chance to be that type of guy. I know we're all excited about Marvin Harrison Jr. This is the number two rookie wide receiver that you should be targeting. And for Reed, he was really good last year, but his numbers took a little bit of a hit when Christian Watson was healthy. And so with a very crowded receiving core in Green Bay, I think we can see Reed take a little bit of a step back. So I'll take Nabers slightly over Reed.
The real problem is that leading the team in targets when you're playing with Daniel Jones has often meant like 85 targets in a season, because most of the head coaches that have had him have decided, you know what we should do is run the ball. And then when Daniel Jones drops back to pass, he still runs the ball. So I am not particularly excited about either one of these guys, neither one in my top 36 wide receivers. I will lean towards Nabers just because of all that traffic there in Green Bay. But if Jaden Reed's the clear number one wide receiver in Green Bay, I do think he will be better than Malik Nabers this year.
I'm willing to believe that Malik Nabers and the Giants, that Malik Nabers being with the Giants will change the Giants' offensive philosophy to a degree. I don't think they can count on the run game the same way that they did when Saquon Barkley was there. That's not saying much. But I do think Malik Nabers will warrant good target volume. It is coming from Daniel Jones. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be up and down. Jaden Reed averaged over 17 PPR points per game in his last eight last year, and that included a number of games where he wasn't even playing every snap. We were referring to him as Debo Light, and he put up numbers like Debo Samuel. This is easy for me. Give me Jaden Reed.
All right, guys, we're going to go rapid fire on our next three here. We're going to start with this one, Roma Dunze for the Bears or Jackson Smith and Jigba. Jamie.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Spider-Man meme. They're pointing at each other. Shane Waldron, the offense coordinator for the Seahawks last year, now the offense coordinator for the Bears, crowded receiving core. So you can see these guys both struggling for targets once again, including JSN. But I'll still give him the slight nod over Odunze just because of him being a veteran and Tyler Lockett 1 year older. So like both these guys, but I'll give the slight edge to the guy in Seattle.
I will go with Rome over JSN, assuming we don't see a DK Metcalf trade.
I think it's going to be JSN. They both have a veteran receiver working alongside them. Tyler Lockett in Seattle, Keenan Allen in Chicago. All it takes is for one of those old heads to miss time for them to break out. And I think Smith and Jigba in his second season is going to be more prepared for that breakout than Odunze will as a rookie.
Chargers rookie Ladd McConkey or Cortland Sutton, Jamie?
Yeah, I'm going to lean toward the guy with the better quarterback here, and that's going to be McConkey. Obviously, we're going to see how Sean Payton uses Bo Nix, and Sutton was great last year, scoring 10 touchdowns with Russell Wilson. But I think for McConkey, even though they're starting to just add bodies in that Chargers receiving core room with the addition of DJ Chark, maybe bringing in Marquez Valdez-Scantling, I still think McConkey does something different than those guys, and that's something Justin Herbert will lean on. So I'll take the young player here once again. No surprise. Love the setup for McConkey with the Chargers.
I do like McConkey to be the best wide receiver on the Chargers, but I will take for now Cortland Sutton over Ladd McConkey. I'm, again, another situation where I'm just not sure how many targets the number one wide receiver on the Chargers sees this year. It's going to be a very run-heavy attack, and they are going to spread the targets around.
You wouldn't even consider Cortland Sutton in fantasy this year if it weren't for all the touchdowns that he got from Russell Wilson last year. Now it's Bo Nix. They added Bo Nix's top target at Oregon to their offense. I think he'll assimilate into that offense a little bit more. Ladd McConkey is going to separate and get open constantly, and Justin Herbert's going to target him a lot. 70 catches plus on deck for McConkey.
The Raiders drafted Brock Bowers. We'll put him against David Njoku. Njoku scored double-digit PPR fantasy points in 10 of his last 11 games. Jamie, who do you like, Bowers or Njoku?
Well, unless Njoku's taking Joe Flacco with him, I'm going to go with Brock Bowers here because Njoku wasn't great with Deshaun Watson. We all anticipate Watson coming back. Obviously, Flacco's now with the Colts. And so even though they have a bunch of quarterbacks in that room in Cleveland, I just don't think that the connection between Watson and Flacco is worth trusting. I'll take my chances with Bowers coming in and being this type of elite-level prospect that he was at Georgia. And I know it's a crowded receiving core with the Raiders, with Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers still there leading the way. And you have the quarterback situation that could be messy, whether it's going to be Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. But I'll lean toward the younger player here once again. I think Bowers comes in and has a very significant impact in his rookie campaign.
I'm going to stick with Njoku here. I have concerns about the rookie tight end catching passes from either Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell in a run-heavy offense with, oh yeah, Davante Adams there earning 35% of the team's targets. I think it could be a slow start for Brock Bowers, probably slower than we saw from Kyle Pitts.
So you might have seen a video on social media of me with David Njoku, and I kind of made a joke about the Browns quarterbacks, and Njoku threatened to give me an uppercut, and we're boys from Miami. Boys being used very,
boys,
very
yeah,
loosely
know, but...
here. Yeah, very, very loosely. I'm still going to go with my integrity here and say Bowers, but I don't want to bet against David Njoku if I don't have to. Not just because he could uppercut me the next time he sees me, but because we saw him really break out in a big way last year. I don't mind the idea of beginning the season with him as your main tight end in fantasy. And if he just doesn't deliver for whatever reason, you can pivot off him to another tight end.
By the way, in case you all missed it, you found out why I am Jamie's favorite co-host, because I am, of course, the youngest. And that is the basis for all of Jamie's decisions. And we'll be back. When we come back, we did a draft last week. It was our first mock draft since the NFL draft. We're going to compare our teams, see who did the best, go head-to-head after this on FFT.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It is time to go head to head. We did a 12-team, three wide receiver PPR mock draft last week. Heath had the fourth pick, Jamie the fifth pick, I had the 10th pick, Dave had the 12th pick. So let's battle here. First, it's Dave's team versus Heath's team. Dave, tell us why your team is unbeatable.
Who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks? I only took one running back with my first five picks. And you know what? In this format, it really worked out great. But the piece de resistance was getting Patrick Mahomes at the 3-4 turn. And then in round 6-7, I got Tony Pollard and I got Najee Harris. And I know these guys aren't going to be the most popular running backs, but to be able to use one of them, if not both of them, in my starting lineup, after getting veteran receivers in Diggs and Cooper, along with Garrett Wilson, and then Evan Engram a little bit later on, we just saw him have a monster season for PPR. I think this roster is built to put up huge points right from the jump.
Yeah, and I went running back heavy. Who would figure? I took Breece Hall and James Cook. Also got Javonte Williams in the flick. That's three of my top 20 running backs, two of my top 10. Michael Pittman's a number one wide receiver. George Pickens is about to become a number two wide receiver with the quarterback upgrade and the targets available with Deontay Johnson gone. And do you guys know how much better Dak Prescott was than Patrick Mahomes last year? Yeah. Come on. Oh, yeah, and I got Mark Andrews.
All right, Jamie, it's funny that he thinks he has like three number one receivers. He might actually have zero. But who do you think has a better team? You can decide, Dave versus he.
I like both these teams. You know, I think their strengths, obviously, across the board for both these squads. But I'm going to give Dave the slight edge there because of his receiving core, which is not something we say often about Dave's fantasy rosters. But his receivers give him the edge over Heath's team. Now, Heath does have a lot of potential at that spot. But Dave going into the season gets the edge at his receiver spot. So that's why I'll give Dave the win.
See, Heath taking all those running backs. Huge mistake. Been saying that for years.
See, you know how much better Michael Pittman was than Garrett Wilson last year? Why does Dave have a number one wide receiver?
Come on. We're projecting forward, not backward.
That's right.
That's right. All right. So let's take a look at Jamie versus me, the defending champion. That's not true. I just wanted to give myself a little bit of credit here before I inevitably lose to Jamie. Let's take a look at our teams. Jamie, I'll go first. I'll tell you why my team is better. Obviously, I need Caleb Williams or Brock Purdy. I have Brock Purdy on the bench, so that's not a bad fallback option. But I love my first two picks, Puka Nacua and Saquon Barkley. Montgomery's nice and safe. But the reason why you like Dave's team better than Heath's is my strength is, I think, Nico Collins, T. Higgins, and Puka Nacua. And then I am excited about Malik Nabers. I'm the high guy on Malik Nabers. So the only area I look at on this team and say, is Goddard. And I think he's fine. You don't have enough catches at running back. McLaurin. He's going to be like wide receiver 30. My flex is better than your flex. Yeah, my team's better.
So it's good to dream and good to hope. And you have a lot of dreams and hopes with this roster. You know, I think the thing that sort of sways it for me, and it's not like this was predetermined, would be my rounds 3 and 4 picks of Derrick Henry and Kenneth Walker. Henry, I think we'll end up seeing as a round 2 pick. And I'm not the biggest Derrick Henry, fan in terms of what I expect him to do, just because 30-year-old running back changes teams. But if there was an ideal landing spot for him, he found it in Baltimore. And so round 2, I'm probably out. Round 3, I'm all in. And Kenneth Walker, we've seen typically go in round 3 in a lot of our drafts. Our guy Joel Cox likes to take him a little bit sooner than I think he should go. But to get Walker in round 4, I know they don't have a lot of catches there, but that could be 30 touchdowns for that position. And that's hard to overlook. So I like the setup for my team a little bit better.
All right, Dave and Heath, who did it better, me or Jamie?
I'll go first. I'll say that Jamie did it better. He's got better receivers. Certainly the running backs look a lot better. And he doesn't have that same type of debate at quarterback like you've got, Adam.
And I looked at your team, Adam. I saw Malik Nabers. I saw Caleb Williams. I saw the rest of your team. I thought, did you trade some picks for like 2025 firsts? It's Jamie.
Okay, well, nobody cares about the championship round. So let's all right, fine. We'll do it anyway. Dave versus Jamie. Let's put these two teams head to head. Heath, I think you and I should talk it out here. Dave versus Jamie. All right, let's take a look. What are you thinking here? Who's got the edge at quarterback? Slight edge for Dave.
Dave has a pretty significant edge at quarterback. I think Dave has an edge at running back. And I think that Jamie's team is probably Dave has an edge at tight end as well. I'm going with Dave's team.
Yeah, I'm going with Dave's team too. Wow. Dave, congratulations.
I think you're doing this on purpose. And you're just don't want to give Jamie the props. Look, I look at Jamie's receiving core. I see Jefferson. I see Olave. Those are two top 10 wide receivers in my rankings. I really like his team. I think Christian Kirk's going to be great too. I'm happy that you like my squad. I think it's probably a little more well-rounded, and it definitely helped that I got Patrick Mahomes as late as I did. I think that might be swaying you guys a little bit. But I would trade my receivers for Jamie's receivers.
I'll settle for being the 7-time T-ball coach of the year this weekend if I win another championship. So you could have that one day.
All right. Everyone's got something to celebrate. We're going to come back with one more segment, fill in the blank, after this break on FFT.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back here on Fantasy Football Today with a segment that's always a lot of fun. It is fill in the blank, and here we go. Derrick Henry will be blank with the Baltimore Ravens. Dave, you can start.
Very good. Top 12 good. Top 12 running back in PPR, probably closer to top 6 or 8 in non-PPR.
A fantasy bust, not a top 12 running back.
I like how Adam does this because he just throws out a name and we have to do the work for him. So Derrick Henry will be a borderline number one running back. Touchdowns will determine how good he is.
I'm with Heath. I think he's going to be one of the biggest busts in fantasy. The dude's 30 years old, has over 2,000 carries. Come on, guys. Jamie, come on.
He's an alien. He's from a different planet. He's going to be okay.
That's right. I'm tired. I'm tired of going against him.
Well, here's
the difference, Adam.
It wasn't good.
You have not touched the stove yet. Some of us have touched the stove and like burned fingers off saying that Derrick Henry is old or talking about Derrick Henry's total number of carries. You've not touched the stove yet.
He was RB 18 per game last year. It's not like he had a top 5 finish again, but I get your point. The top 3 quarterbacks in fantasy are blank, Dave. Top 3 quarterbacks.
Patrick Mahomes is going to be number 1. I love the additions that they made. Josh Allen's still going to be in that mix. Let's put him at number 2 and Jalen Hurts, even with Saquon Barkley there at number 3.
Going to be drafted too high according to ADP. Oh, if you want names, I will say Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, and Lamar Jackson.
I agree with Heath on the order. I also agree with Heath on the sentiment. They will be drafted too high.
So Jamie and Heath, I'll go to you. No Josh Allen in your top 3.
He is currently my number 4 quarterback.
I thought you said Allen was 3. Allen 3 for me.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot of James Cook this year in Buffalo.
All right. The top 3 Texans wide receivers are blank, Dave.
They're going to be drafted in this order. It's going to be Nico first, Diggs second, and Tank Dell third. How will they finish? It'll depend on your format. I've got a sneaking suspicion that we're not done with Stephon Diggs yet. I think he could be first, Dell second, Nico third.
I will go with Nico, then Dell, then Diggs. And I am more inclined to put Tank Dell ahead of Nico than I am to put Diggs ahead of Tank Dell.
I'm going to listen to Heath's answer fully this time and say how I really feel. Nico will be 1, Diggs will be 2, Dell will be 3. Draft the one that's last if you want a piece of this Texans offense, because the first two may get overdrafted.
Next up, my favorite sleeper, by the way, this is not my Adam Azer's favorite, it's yours. My favorite sleeper is blank.
Too early to put somebody on a favorite sleeper list. I'll go with Blake Corum. He's really stood out to me in the last week or so as someone that I want to grab in the double-digit rounds.
I know he was everybody's favorite sleeper last year, but I get the feeling he's going to be underdrafted again this year and maybe pay off bigger than he did. I'll say Jaylen Warren.
I'm going to go with Christian Watson. We spent time on our podcast on Monday talking about the upside of what he can be when healthy. And if I think if he does stay healthy the entire season, he could be easily the best Packers wide receiver in an offense that's going to be fun with Jordan Love really coming into his own. So love getting Christian Watson close to the double-digit round.
All right, my favorite breakout is blank.
If I'm up first, I'm going first. Dalton Kincaid, we talked about him a little bit earlier. If we're talking about a tight end that can make that jump into 15-plus PPR territory, I think Kincaid is it. I think he can lead Buffalo in targets, catches, yards, touchdowns, and be the reason why Josh Allen stays as a top three fantasy quarterback.
And you see why Dave is a Hall of Famer and the nicest analyst in the industry, because when he said, I'm going first, I get the first pick, I thought he was going to say Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson's kind of the free space amongst breakouts this year. He's my number three running back. Arthur Smith's not there in Atlanta. I expect Robinson to challenge Breece Hall and maybe even Christian McCaffrey to be a top number one back.
I'm going to stay with the same team and go with Drake London. Love the setup for him in his third season. Finally has a quarterback that will feature him the right way and a coach that will feature him the right way as well. I think he's going to finally deliver on being a top 10 overall pick in the NFL draft like he was three drafts ago. And so top 24 overall pick, top 10 fantasy wide receiver, take him in round two.
All right, last one here, guys. The top three athletes on this show are blank.
It's going to be Heath and Jamie, one and two. No question about it. And Adam, you're more svelte than I am, so I think you're going to get the nod over me.
Jamie, me, Dave.
Heath, me, Dave. Dave was actually, I don't know if recruited is the right word, but requested by a college football coach to maybe play offensive line for his alma mater, the University of Miami. Heath is one of the best basketball coaches in South Florida and has a very good basketball background. Adam barely got a hit in softball and just, you know, doesn't have it. So I'll say the three of us over him.
My team had like four hits. I had one of them. All right. Well, anyway, I'm a better athlete than I might look. And I'm the youngest. Big thanks to Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, and Heath Cummings. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you enjoyed what you saw, check out our podcast, Fantasy Football Today, anywhere you listen to podcasts. You can also see it on YouTube, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. This has been a real pleasure. I want to thank the guys once again. I am Adam Azer. We'll talk to you next time on Fantasy Football Today. Don't forget to check out that podcast. We're 3 days a week right now. We're 7 days a week during the season. We'll talk to you soon.
CBS Tonight, after The Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions. If you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale tonight after The Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.